The passage of Scripture that I want to just look at, think about for a few moments, is connected with the pronouncement of the angels to the shepherds. You know, we read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, it says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased.'" So I was thinking about this. I actually have been thinking about this passage here the last few weeks. And just what a blessing it is, and what a pronouncement of blessing or hope that it gives to us in the work that God desires to do in us through the message of salvation. Now, Romans chapter 15, in that particular context, deals with Christ coming and ultimately fulfilling the promises that God made to Israel, to the Jews. And it says He came to serve them, but it also came to serve the Gentiles. And then he begins to quote a number of Old Testament passages of Scripture that foretold the blessing that would come to the Gentiles through Him, and then the hope that would also come to them. And then in verse 15, we have this verse that's before us that says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And I just wanted to break this down a little bit. First of all, I'm saying it's the God of hope. He is the God of hope. You know, we see a number of places where in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, He's the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have received from Him. Here, He's the God of hope. And so, just as He is the God of hope, He gives us that reason, that meaning in life to look forward to motivate us to get up in the morning, to live, to go in the world that's before us because of what He has done for us in Christ. He's the God of hope. And I've said this before, hope that the way we use it in English language is filled with so many uncertainties. It's nothing more than just saying, "I wish this will happen. I want this to happen, but I don't really have any control over it. I can't make it happen, but I really want it to happen." But in the Bible, the word hope is not used in that way. It's used in a way that is based on a confident expectation based upon God, in whom there are no variations. There's no change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot lie. So therefore, we can have that confident expectation that what God has said, what God has done, who God is, will never change. And that would be a source of strength and confidence and hope for us. So He is the God of hope. And the blessing or the wish here is that He will fill you with all joy. And you could even, the word "all," I underlined it because it goes with both joy and peace. He will fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. And that's the part. It's in believing. We must demonstrate faith. We must confidence in this God of hope. That we believe His word, that we believe the message of salvation, that we believe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and that He would fill us. And which, again, emphasizes that outside of Christ, we are really empty. And maybe in some cases, when God begins to pursue us and begins to make us aware of that emptiness, we become hungry for something, meaning, purpose, something to fill the void within our hearts and our minds. We know that something's missing, but the God of hope will fill us with all joy and peace in believing. And again, if you're connected to that message of great joy, good news of great joy, that the shepherds pronounced, or the angels pronounced to the shepherds. And again, it's just hope, joy, peace. So we think about these attributes and how much we long for them in our own life, to be filled with hope. If we have hope, we can endure almost anything, can't we? If we have joy, that joy is contagious. A joy comes from the depths within our soul, true joy, because of the message that we have, because of the forgiveness that we have, and it should go out. It should be uncontainable. And peace is that thing which marks not only that reconciliation with God, but that cessation of worry, that cessation of hostility, that peace, that calm, that tranquility, but so much more is represented by that word. And again, I mentioned, I think, Sunday, that word peace, that Old Testament shalom. It's one of the greatest blessings you could ever wish on somebody, because it talks about the wellness of their whole being and the blessing that God gives to them. And then we have a purpose statement. So the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the reason you will abound in hope. So it comes full circle. The God of hope wants to fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we will abound. We'll have an abundance of hope. So again, for full circle. And he talks about this earlier in Romans chapter 5 when he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in what? The hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So again, one of the things then, as it closes here, is the same thing in Romans chapter 5, is that it's a supernatural thing. That it comes through, and that the love that God has poured out within our hearts is through the Holy Spirit whom God has given us. Here, that hope that comes, we're to abound in that hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's something that is the supernatural work of God, the blessing that God gives to those who believe. We see in Ephesians that when we believe the message, the gospel of your salvation, it just says after you... the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as an a guarantee of our inheritance. And so we have that. But He also is at work in us to produce this joy, this hope, and this peace that comes through the gospel. And that's what we celebrate in this great message, is that Jesus Christ was born. He took upon flesh, the incarnation, took flesh so that He would represent us, so that He would be like us in all things. Ultimately, to live in perfect obedience to the law, to fulfill all righteousness, and then to offer Himself as that sinless sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins, so that when we believe in Him, not only do we have the forgiveness of sins, but we are also granted His righteousness, perfect righteousness. And so we have that before God. And that's what we're going to celebrate after we sing this next hymn. But as we come to the Lord's table, we remember and we celebrate the incarnation, because we know that through the incarnation it leads to the cross, it leads to the resurrection, it leads to our justification, and all the blessings that are ours in Christ.